Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomen. Right now our guest is Pastor Stephen Broden of Texas. He's involved as the pastor of the Fair Park Bible Fellowship in Dallas. He is involved in the national, or was, the national delegate for the Republican Party of Texas. Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate, that's one of his Facebook items. And also Constitutional Defenders of Texas. He's also involved with the National Black Pro-Life Coalition. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
No, and I just want you to know you've got mail. I just heard it. All right. I want to focus on this transgender bathroom, since that's kind of the tip of the spear at the moment in this ongoing culture clash that's going on between basically our Judeo-Christian heritage and progressive forces, so-called, that want to change everything. I mean, even President Obama said famously 5 days before he was elected, we're 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. So how about an opening comment on this culture war?
Well, it is indeed a conflict of a magnitude that I think that requires our full attention, because what is happening here is that the change that was promised is taking place around our Judeo-Christian heritage and the ethics that undergirds who we are as a nation. This whole issue of sexual orientation and gender identity, which is called SOGI, the SOGI laws, are threatening the very foundation of who we are as a people, and has framed for us the conflict in its full estimation and in its full reality. There are a couple of points that need to be made about this. Sexual orientation and gender identity laws pose a serious problem for the free market, for contracts, free speech, religious liberty, and the health of our culture and pluralism. It impacts all of that. To say the least, that it is a profound confusion. It will provide a profound confusion for our children, young adults, young people who are attempting to understand what the expectations are, their role in the culture and their biological identity and all of that. It's being impacted by this. And so, yes, we are experiencing an incredible conflict, one that requires, I think, immediate attention and response on the part of the religious community, because ultimately the attack will be targeted towards our rights as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the inerrancy and infallibility of Scripture.
All right. Now, the other side would say you're a bigot. You are intolerant since you're opposing, let's say, open bathrooms.
Well, I'm sure that argument will be made. However, common sense simply tells us that there ought to be moral codes within our culture that defines how we interact and engage one another. I, as a man, cannot access facilities it's incredible that I would be called a bigot and that I'm discriminating simply because we're following a moral code that's been with us for time immemorial. It's been around forever, that men are men and women are women. And those who are confused about that, and at least in the pediatric community, they identify that as gender dysphasia. It is a confusion, a mental confusion that requires some psychiatric treatment. And I think that's, we're willing to abandon those definitions and throw them out because of intolerance or discrimination. This is not discrimination at all.
Well, it's interesting. I was just watching, just within the last 24 hours, Loretta Lynch, the Attorney General of the United States, so this is President Obama's Attorney General, saying that in this open bathroom policy or whatever that they're fighting for, those who oppose it are similar to those who were in favor of the Jim Crow laws, 50, 60 years ago. And that leaves me dumbfounded. Do you see that on the same level? Obviously not, but I'm just asking you a leading question.
Well, absolutely. I see it the same. It is dumbfounding. It is a false connection. There is no connection between the Jim Crow laws, which were making laws that segregated us based upon race and the color of our skin, as opposed to someone who is suffering from a mental illness that is called gender dysphagia. This is a mental sickness. Now, all citizens should oppose unjust discrimination, but sexual orientation and gender identity laws are not the way to achieve that goal. These people are suffering from some confusion as to their identity, and there cannot be, at least in my mind, a connection between race and Jim Crow laws that discriminate because of race and someone who is suffering from this dysphagia and wanting to have access to bathroom and showers and locker rooms because they think that they are a woman or they think that they are a man when in reality they are a woman.
They're one or the other. Yeah, in fact, we went to North Carolina, we being in my full-time work with D. James Kennedy Ministries Television, we went to North Carolina since that's really kind of ground zero in this whole battle. One of the pastors we interviewed, a black bishop, Patrick Wooden, and he was saying how, look, if you took a swab of the inside of someone's mouth, that would determine whether they're male or female. And that's it. You know, there's no race component here. It's just biology, not race.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, the pediatric community has already spoken on this issue, and I think we're ignoring science, and we're ignoring what is obvious and apparent to all of us. Look, what God intended for a person to be is what they are when they are born biologically. The evidence is there. It cannot be misconstrued or misunderstood. What you are is what you are biologically. Now, because I think I'm a woman, have to go have some kind of operation, and by the way, the president is forcing this and bullying hospitals around the country to do gender operations,
wow,
or they will not receive funding, federal funding.
Wow.
I don't know if you know about that, but
no.
He came out with an edict. It was, I think, a week or two ago.
Wow.
It simply said to hospitals, if you don't perform abortions and gender operations, you will not receive federal funding. This is bullying. This is forcing a cultural change that is absolutely unnecessary and absolutely outside the scope of reason and responsibility. This is what we're facing in America, and that's why it's so important for us to engage in this battle and push back. We must push back. If we don't push back, then what we're going to experience is a transformation of our culture and would put us in a position, listen, of having to protect our children at the expense of even our liberty, because if we are saying that this is misconduct or behavior that's outside the scope of what we believe to be true relative to our faith, it will put us in conflict with the law. And when it puts us in conflict with the law, as you have seen, that bakers and florists and photographers who believe that they should not perform services for same-sex couples who are wanting to be married because of their faith have been punished, lost their businesses, lost their means of income, and have been jailed in some instances and penalized extraordinary sums of money because they simply believe that that is against their faith. This is where we are, and if we do not stop this madness, I think Christianity is going the way of the dinosaur in America.
Well, okay, in America, I pray that will never be the case, but we always need to remember that Jesus rose from the dead, and there's always that turnaround. And, you know, it seems like sometimes it's almost like people want to write off, you know, write the obituary of the church here or there or whatever. And then Jesus somehow turns it around and things get incredible. You know, this is the religion of the catacombs. You know, and by the way, since you're a pastor, isn't it true through the years, by the grace of God, haven't there been lesbians that have come and homosexuals that have come to your services, and then they've ended up becoming Christians. And by the grace of Jesus Christ, they've been freed from this. Maybe even some transsexuals. And I'm not saying we need to oppose those unrighteous laws. Absolutely, 100%. I'm just saying there's also the redemptive side of the story, which is, you know, an amazing angle, and we don't hear that part either.
Well, not as often as we should. And probably as it is happening, and but to the extent that it is happening, we have on the other side an effort to codify into law a behavior that is a direct opposite of what we believe. And once you put it into law, and then that means you can suffer punitive consequences if you open your mouth and say something different than what the law is. You're going against the law.
Yeah.
And so, yes, Jesus and the purposes of the church will always go forward and will be in triumph. But we can look at Europe, and we can see how the church in Europe lost its sway, lost its influence, lost its position in society,
lost its
and
salt,
been relegated to a secondary position within the culture. That potentiality exists here in America.
You're right.
Does that mean that the true church will disappear? No. The remnant is going to always be around, and if it means we have to go underground, we go underground. But nonetheless, the kind of liberty and freedom that we have connected with our First Amendment right and the Constitution is being challenged today, and it requires of us to take it seriously, to step into the public square, and to push back as salt and light agents of the kingdom, speaking truth to power.
Amen.
That this must not be, and it cannot be. And we must fight while we can, because there may come a point when we're not able to or allowed to without punitive consequences that are so severe that it would cause us to hesitate to step forward.
You know, I keep thinking in the back of my mind about one of the most incredible documents written in America ever, and it relates to this topic. And it was Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail. If I'm not mistaken, the year was 1963. But in that letter, he talked about how natural law, which really is God's law, you can't defy that without, achieving the punishment. And when society defies it, society will be punished because we're going against God's laws. I do think that Birmingham address from Martin Luther King Jr. really is like a message that needs to be rediscovered in our time.
Well, absolutely. I think we ought to resurrect it, bring it out, look at it again, use it as the impetus for our resistance, use it as a means by which to step forward into the public square. We must, no matter what the consequences are, and we will be called bigoted, and we will be called racist, and we'll be called intolerant and discriminatory. All those name callings are designed to quiet us and to shush us and to push us back out of the public spotlight. But we must step into that spotlight, and we must step in there with the confidence that He is with us, and we're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever hope or ask, because we're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We must do it. And there will be consequences, and some of it will be severe. But we must step forward. Listen, I'm stepping forward because I believe it's right. I believe what we're saying is right, and it is, in fact, God's definitions that we should be adhering to. And He defines very clearly what marriage is. He defines what our biology is, who we are. He didn't make a mistake. And the mistake is, it may be in the minds of these people, or it may be confusion or what is called dysphasia, gender dysphasia. And the confusion is there, obviously.
Right.
There needs to be some kind of treatment, and we need to treat it as a mental illness. But nonetheless, we must step into the public square. And that's what we're doing here on the show. We're alerting the Christian community and alerting patriots and Tea Party patriots, constitutionalists. The time to stand up is now. The threat is genuine, and it is, in fact, against our First Amendment rights. It's against our constitutional rights, and we must stand and push back.
Amen. And here's the website, protectlifeandmarriagetx.org. Pastor Stephen Broden, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you now.
Thank you.